members of the Bureau of the Committee on World Food Security, honorable ministers, excellencies, the heads of all the Rome-based agencies of UN who are on the podium, Dr. David Nabarro, honorable delegates, observers, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm grateful for this opportunity to address on behalf of the steering committee of the HLPE some ideas relating to our reports. Particularly happy because this is a gathering of ministers and policy makers committed to the cause of a hunger-free world. Last year, as chair of the committee of the high-level panel of experts for food security and nutrition, I introduced our first two reports, which were indeed commissioned by you, Land Tenure and International Investments in Agriculture, Price Volatility and Food Security. On behalf of the steering committee, as well as the leaders and members of our study team and the Global College of Participants in our electronic consultations, I wish to record my sincere gratitude to you, Mr. Chairman, and to CFS for the careful attention paid to our recommendations, as well as for the subsequent action taken. These issues continue to be relevant today, and hence eternal vigilance is essential to ensure that price volatility does not aggravate hunger, that prime farmland is not lost to farming, and that smallholders have secure access to their lands. In the second year of our work, we have been able to produce, according to your own desire, two reports which are going to be discussed today, social protection for food security and climate change and food security. I am sure since they were commissioned, these reports were commissioned by CFS, they will receive adequate attention and appropriate action. You are well aware that HLP adopts a very transparent and inclusive process in the preparation of our reports. I often stress that the process of preparing a report for intergovernmental study and action is as important as the product. Therefore, we have documented all our internal procedures, and this document is available on the website of the high-level panel of experts. The tenure of the present steering committee was scheduled to end with this meeting. However, members have agreed to the request of the CFS Bureau to continue till next October in order to complete the two new reports which you have commissioned. This period will also pave the way for orderly transition based on the principle of continuity and change in membership. The 2013 reports relate to biofuels and food security and smallholder investments in relation to food security. The report on smallholder investments to be presented and considered next year at this time will be particularly timely since the United Nations has designated 2014 as the year of family farming. There is increasing political concern about the persistence of hunger. This year, price volatility in relation to staple grains has increased because of extensive drought in the United States, as well as in some parts of the world, including my own country, India, a flood in Nigeria, and many other weather calamities around the world. The steering committee and our study teams have therefore given considerable attention to methods of minimizing the adverse impact of unfavorable weather on crop production. We will be discussing these reports today. As scientists, we cannot allow institutional frontiers or our own individual disciplinary expertise to limit the scope and rigor of our analysis. There are many reports on climate change and its potential impact on food security. We have studied available reports and looked at the problems in a holistic manner. For example, in the area of climate change, we are concerned with the consequences of the rise in mean temperature, the more frequent occurrence of extreme weather events like drought and flood, the melting of glaciers, the rise in sea level, and the increased frequency of occurrence of coastal storms and tsunamis. In all these cases, we have tried to draw attention to implementable action with reference to both adaptation and mitigation. Many of the steps we are recommending to stabilize food production and minimize price volatility are desirable, whether or not there is climate change. In small farms, it will be advisable to establish a rainwater harvesting pond as well as a biogas plant. In addition, a few fertilizer trees like Phytherbia albida could be planted so that there is both soil health enhancement and building up of soil carbon banks. It has been reported that increasing soil carbon pool by 1 ton carbon per hectare per year in the root zone can increase food production by nearly 30 to 50 million tons. In other words, our message is that we should convert the calamity of climate change into an opportunity for promoting an evergreen revolution in our farms, characterized by increase in productivity in perpetuity without associated ecological harm. Nearly a third of the human population live near the coast. Anticipated research and action will be needed for insulating coastal communities from the impact of sea level rise and saline water intrusion. The anticipatory action plan for coastal ecological and livelihood security may include the following: mangrove and non-mangrove bioshields being erected along sea coast, breeding salinity tolerant rice and other varieties, development of agroforestry and coastal aquaculture systems of land and water management, conservation and use of halophytes, that is those which are tolerant to salinity. There is need for research on seawater farming involving the spread of agri-aqua farms, the cultivation of economically valuable halophytes and salinity-tolerant fish species will help to strengthen the food and livelihood security of coastal communities. We therefore recommend the launching along coastal areas as well as in small islands a scientifically designed seawater movement for coastal area prosperity. After all, 97% of the global water resource is seawater, 97%. In order to facilitate the detailed examination of actionable suggestions, we launched the two reports a month ago on September 12th in Rome. I am grateful to Dr. Stephen Devereux and Jerry Nelson, the two team leaders, for sparing time to join us here today. They will be available for discussion when the matter is taken up. In the area of social protection, we have recommended the concept of a food security floor that may be adopted while formulating national food security policies, since the concept of a bottom line or a floor will help to promote convergence and synergy among all the food and non-food factors involved in food availability, access, and absorption. As we are meeting here today, the Conference of Parties to the Global Convention on Biological Diversity is taking place at Hyderabad, India. COP11 is very much concerned with the issue of biodiversity and food security. One of our recommendations is to enlarge the food basket in order to include vanishing crops and dying wisdom. In the past, food and health security were based on several hundred crops, but gradually 5 or 6 crops have started dominating the food market. Millets belonging to Panicum, Penicetum, Paspalum, Ceteria, and many other genera are both nutritious and climate smart. Therefore, it will be appropriate to refer to them as climate smart nutri cereals rather than as coarse cereals as at present. We have recommended the publication of an annual social protection monitor, which will bring together the experiences around the world of the efficacy and impact of different social protection measures. For example, the publication on FOME Zero, or Zero Hunger, by our distinguished director of FAO, Dr. Graziano De Silva, and his colleagues, brings out clearly why this program was very effective. It has several innovative features which ought to be known more widely. I do hope that either FAO or one of the other two organizations, or together, WFP and IFAD, will take the responsibility for bringing out an annual social protection monitor so that we can all purchase time in learning from both effective and not very successful examples. As I mentioned earlier, our 2013 reports will relate to biofuels and smallholder investments in relation to food security. We have also suggested to the Bureau of CFS that during 2014, the following three topics could be considered for in-depth study and analysis: the role of living aquatic resources in food security, agro-biodiversity genetic resources in food security, research for food security. Since our reports are demand-driven, it is up to CFS to indicate its priorities in the matter of seeking the scientific advice of HLPE. I wish to place on record our gratitude to Ambassador Yahya Olaniran, Chair of the CFS, and members of the CFS Bureau, for their continuous advice and encouragement. My sincere gratitude goes to Madam Mariam Rahmanian, co-chair of HLPE, and the members of the steering committee. They are all giving their time free for this important work. My particular thanks goes to the government of France for making the services of Mr. Vincent Gitz available to serve as coordinator of the HLPE. He has been rendering outstanding service and is largely responsible for our being able to stick to timelines and remain within the framework of the terms of reference. My thanks are due to steering committee members, Catherine Bertini, Alain DeGenery, and Hua Jung Tang, who have shouldered extra burden of work by serving as conveners of the oversight of the elaboration of our reports. Our last meeting was held at St. Petersburg, thanks to the support of the government of Russia and the untiring efforts of our member, Igor Tikhonovich. We owe a great deal to the dedication of the leaders and members of our study team for the success of our work. Obviously, the work of our committee would not have been possible but for the generous support of donors. In particular, I wish to thank the governments of Australia, European Union, France, Ireland, United Kingdom, Russia, Spain, and Switzerland for their generous support. We work on a very cost-effective manner, and our annual budget is about $1 million, covering all expenses, including translation into many languages. I wish to thank the various eminent experts who have worked free because of their commitment to the cause of sustainable global food security. Through open electronic consultations, we were able to get the benefit of advice from a very large number of scientists worldwide. I am happy to say that in our team we have mobilized an equally large number of experts from both OECD, 45% were OECD, and non-OECD countries, 55%, thereby making our effort truly global. Mr. Chairman, Your Excellencies and distinguished delegates, on August 12, 2012, the closing day of the London Olympics, the United Kingdom government launched a program designed to rescue 25 million children from malnutrition-induced stunting between now and 2016, when the next Olympics will take place at Rio de Janeiro. This is a laudable initiative, and I hope that will lead to the infusion of the Olympic spirit in the battle against hunger. Like those contesting the Olympic Games, let us all develop the will and determination to succeed. Thank you very much.